You don't need to be an additional letter of my local.
Actually, we could start and just not do the approval of the minutes. We need him here for things that we have to do.
I don't think you formally called the public meeting open, but that's more of a... But I'm not certain on that.
Well, it can go both ways, I think, at our discretion. We can call it open and have a discussion with no vote.
It's like Del Sor, whatever, we never use it.
I don't believe we can conduct any business.
All right.
Do we not have a forum? Yes.
Not yet.
Not until Jeff gets here.
Transport the sculptures on the important disk.
There he is.
Perfect.
There's Jeff.
Haven't seen you in a while. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I've been traveling a little bit.
Have you?
Good. I bought a little teardrop trailer, which I'm just in love with.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Where have you been going?
I went down through Big Sur, and then spent a few days in Joshua Tree, and then up the Eastern Sierras. It's kind of a road trip, a photography trip.
I was in Joshua Tree last week.
Just last week,
yeah.
Were the flowers still amazing, or are they...
Okay, we have a quorum and we can get started. So, calling meeting to order. Is there anything that anybody would like to add to the agenda? It's not on the agenda. So then our first act of business is to approve the minutes of the March 15th meeting. Are there any changes, corrections, modifications? All right, may I have a motion to approve the minutes as printed, please?
So moved.
You got an extra. Thank you.
All those in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Is there anyone here to speak about an item that is not on the agenda? All right, then we're ready for our proposal from Terry, the Bronze Lantern Lithium Project. I'm going to suggest that whoever wants to come up, sit down here at this end.
Okay.
Or, you know, how about this? Hang on just a minute. How about, Sandy, can you move over one, and then we'll distribute it that way?
Yeah.
I wonder if I could use my very own thumb drive. I've made a couple of...
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Small changes.
Please feel free.
Oh, maybe you can drive it.
Okay.
A USB connection, you can like that.
Yeah.
It should be on the top level, and it's called something obvious like Japanese lantern, Chinese Japanese lantern, or the apartment.
So, Watara, do you want to come up? And Terry?
Yes.
Yeah, you will come up.
You could sit in one of those two chairs right there. So, the Park and Recs Commission has asked the PAC to review the lantern sculpture project and to provide a recommendation back to the Parks Commission. So, in terms of the review for this project, the Public Art Commission offered the applicant an exception to the general PAC review process. Generally speaking, we have a hearing 1 month, and then the commission takes a month to review the commentary, the plans, the drawings, the site, and then we hold the discussion the next month. So we are making that exception if the commissioners have had an opportunity to review the submittal and visit the site. So are we all prepared to discuss that meeting, project day? Good. Okay.
And I'm perfectly willing to let it slide because we've actually started on the project. And that was my concern, was that we would not be able to begin. Eager boys have begun. And I anticipate an installation on my wife's birthday. It's June 19th, but 2020.
Yeah. Well, so thank you. And as it stands, we'll ask you to present. We'll have questions for you. We'll have some discussion within the commission. And we may ask you to go back and rethink something. So that's kind of the process we're looking at today.
Okay.
All right. So you're...
Thank you. Well, thank you all for coming. Thanks to Mike for being here from Parks and Rec, and John Kletzel getting out of his rehabilitation bed after knee surgery, and the two artists, Motaro and Jack Langford, here early in the morning. Let's see if I can figure out how to drive this. Okay, so a little history first, and that was that in late April or early May of 2018, bare 5 weeks after my wife passed away in San Francisco. She was an Ashland resident, but we went there for the specialists. After that happened, it was fairly clear in my mind that I wanted to do a memorial project of some sort, and it fairly quickly came to me that there was a Japanese garden in Lithia Park, that we loved Lithia Park and lived just over the hill from it for 28 years. It also occurred to me that I knew an excellent artist who would be perfectly capable of doing something appropriate for the Japanese garden. So I met with Director of Parks and Rec, Michael Black, and with Jeff Manchin, and I knew nothing about all that happened in Lithia Park and with respect to the Japanese garden, that there was a large bequest that was going to completely redo the Japanese garden, and that there was no architect gotten yet. And so this very same slide was shown to them over a year ago, and they were favorably disposed. But we had to wait for the architect to be selected. We had to wait for the Lithia Park plan to be completed, and those happened over the course of the next 10 months or so. I came back from vacation and again met with Parks and Rec at two or three sessions. I talked to Jeff Manchin, the guy who was part of the foundation that was funding the Japanese garden in Lithia Park. My artist and the finally selected Japanese artist from architect from Portland, Dora Tanaka, met, and it was decided that they would not allow my lantern in their garden. And that was not Jeff's decision. He, in fact, was mediator between the two who were speaking Japanese. He said, "Couldn't you find an accommodation for this lantern that they'd like to build?" And the Mr. Tanaka said, yes, outside the garden. Okay.
What was his reason?
Wasn't Japanese enough?
He said they got to be perfect, he said. Got to need to sacrifice your artistic talent. Got to follow exactly precise, millimeter precise.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want to do it. I cannot do it.
Okay, so it's now a jump ball, I think, whether there's going to be a renovation or a replacement of the Japanese garden in Lithia Park or not. I've heard two verbs to describe that. One is the offer was withdrawn, and the other was that it was put on hold. I personally don't want any part of either one of those. When I talked to Jeff, his project, I'm asking for only the same thing, only in miniature, of what has been granted to him, which was he could come in and do a nice Japanese garden to replace some of the errors in perhaps in construction. There is no Japanese lantern in Lithia Park in that
area. This is one of the essential elements of a Japanese garden. There's a torii, or gate. It's in the wrong place, but it's there. There's a water course. There are plants, rocks, paths, all that kind of thing. There are a few elements that are missing, and I thought that a Japanese lantern would be absolutely perfect for a project for my wife. And then we were kind of summarily kicked out of the Japanese garden, and then they went through the tree issue and all that. So at any rate, I tried to give Director Black and Jeff Mangin a little bit of what I knew about Japanese lanterns, and I did some research on it. It turns out that there are three types of Japanese lanterns. The one that we propose, which is a tower form. There's one that has multiple legs, which you can see here. This is not a particularly beautiful example. I just kept the slide because it was next to my wife's picture. That is Chemi on the right, happy as always. So there's a three-legged lantern, a one-legged a tower form, and then there's a hanging bronze lantern. They are placed in fairly specific places within Japanese gardens. They serve as memorials, so this is an appropriate use of a Japanese lantern. And they're made from one of two materials in one of three different types. I at first thought that a stone lantern would be appropriate. However, after talking to Jack and reviewing my thoughts of what had happened to some of the artwork that is in Lithia Park made of stone, namely the Abraham Lincoln statue that had, I believe, two or three heads on it, and the Butler Pelosi fountain, which has been a gorgeous piece of marble but has been wrecked a couple of times. I talked to Jeff, and I asked him, wouldn't you worry that something built in your wife's name, you know, made out of stone, or somebody came by and knocked it apart or something like that, wouldn't you feel bad about that? And he said, no, I guess once the Japanese garden is completed, he would be happy. And I would be happy to see my lantern placed in Lithia Park, but I would be distraught if somebody were to take a pipe to it or something like that, which Aro tells me that the bronze lantern will be very strong, going to be quite heavy, and will withstand a lot of abuse. So I think that for those reasons, I changed my mind from a stone lantern to a bronze lantern. Okay. It's going to be a tower form because the proper placement for this type of lantern, the three-legged one, okay, is near water. Yeah.
Can I also have you add that they're easily repaired?
Thank you. Yes, that they are repairable. Okay, these are bronze lanterns. I did not take these pictures, but they are from Nara, Kyoto, and Kamakura. They're the absolute heart of Japanese culture. The one on the left is a model that I'm going to use in a later slide. It's probably a stone lantern, but it's just a drawing. So you can see what the bronze lanterns look like. It says they're a little less common, but nonetheless quite authentic. National treasure on the far left. These are stone lanterns. This is what I had originally intended to have produced. Notice that there's writing on them. They are ancient. These are perhaps 1,200 years old. I don't know the exact date of the Kasuga Taisha, the place that this is in Nara, is the first Japanese garden in Japan, the first known, and some of the most ancient work. And I proposed that I would have a stone lantern built looking like this. And it turns out that I'm going to have a bronze one because it's Ashland, and I simply don't trust the Vandals, and as my buddy Jim Olson called it, the knothead factor. So they're all formal. There's a certain number of pieces for each one. They have names. As Tanaka-san was talking to Taru, there's a very formality to them, millimeter preciseness. I think he exaggerates, but nonetheless, since we were excluded from the Japanese garden, I prefer a different location at this point. I'll get to that in a moment. Okay, this is Wataru, graduate of SOU, friend of Chiemi's, and that was one of the great motivators for doing this project, that I didn't need to pick somebody I didn't know. Wataru has supported himself as a fine artist over the last 30 years in the Rogue Valley, travels up and down the West Coast, earning a living, and he does bronze. This particular one was done in, I don't know, some month of this year at any rate, and OPB was there to film it, so Wataru will eventually. I thought he was going to be on OPB earlier than this, but I've been religiously watching them, quite a good program. This is a rhinoceros head. If you look at the picture on the right, you can see that that's the horn sticking up, left and right half, and then there's some white stuff down below that doesn't belong as part of the statue. Those will be cut off. The two pieces will be brought together, and voila, a rhinoceros head. Wataru has one work at least in the city behind the public library, which used to be down on Guanajuato Way.
By the way, I made a sculpture that this man cast in bronze. Now, he is the early admirer of this artist, Jack Langford. You don't know him. And the two artists, Jack Langford, Kevin Christman, I admire two best sculptors in this Rogue Valley. This is the one of the guy.
Yep. And I've been told that I might be able to help hold the bronze when we do it, one of the pours. Well, a lot of things that touch my heart differently than they did a year and 2-3 months ago. Okay, this is the pour of those two pieces. This is at Jack's studio in Phoenix or Talent. This is not the rhinoceros head that you see there. This is a smaller version, and you can look at how beautifully the skin has worked and Wataru behind. So, professional references there. There's Jack here, Kevin Christman, and Russell Beef. There's Jack on the left with We Are Here. What do you call it? It's not a statue, is it?
It's called a spirit pole.
A spirit pole, thank you. Okay, there's Jack's resume, and there's a younger Jack on the right. I'm not too embarrassed by dragging that up. So, fully capable of producing a Japanese lantern. Here's where Wataru and I walked through the park slowly and looked around, and we are at about number 17 or 18 there on the lower left, and that is Winburn Way winding its way up toward the tennis courts, and I suppose you guys are all familiar with it. There are a set of four steps there, stone steps, that are made exactly like the entry into the Japanese garden, and I suspect that if the Japanese garden is ever made ADA compliant, as it should be, then that will be the entrance where the ADA ramp will go, and it's there that I would propose to put my wife's lantern for a variety of reasons. One is that it would be like a welcoming sign for the Japanese garden if you continued on down that path. You can see the red star at the far right. It's right there. There are tennis courts just across the street, walking downhill slightly toward the blue star or turquoise star. That's the Japanese garden. It is about 200 and so feet away from the Japanese garden. fully compliant with Mr. Tanaka's wish that we not be a part of the Japanese garden. Now I don't know, but at any rate, this is the location that, that Mataro and I selected, and I believe it's more appropriate than the Japanese garden itself. We picked another one, and Aaron asked me what the red star down on the left was. That we found another place, just right over there, actually, near the duck pond that would have been quite nice, too. Japanese lanterns are both spiritual and iconic and symbolic. They are light producers. You would put them near the entry to a building, kind of logical, even though they wouldn't produce very much light. You would put them near the entry to a temple for the same reason. You would also put them along a pathway. That's where we come in.
Would this lantern have a light source?
No. I can talk about that in a minute, but it's, if you look at this, this is bronze. Mm-hmm. This is a grill work that's, there are going to be three of these. This is hexagonal, and there will be three of those and three blank faces, maybe to be worked by a design. Yeah, you can see on this. Yeah. It's a little bit different, not much. At any rate, one of these will be operable, so that I could actually put an LED source in there or something like that. Not permanently, but on a special occasion or something like that, if we wanted to gather there and on my wife's birthday or something like that. So not as a permanent thing. There's no electricity there, for one thing. And I'm not going to have solar cells hanging off the edge of it. So from the edge of the Japanese garden, standing at the edge and looking uphill, you can see the path winding around. And I think if you use your imagination, you can almost see, and right midpoint on the left-hand picture, you can imagine that there are tennis courts in there. And that is goes around the corner, around the fir tree there. And on the right-hand side, you can see, yes, indeed, and I thought to build a snowman in the bare space there as a representation of where the lantern would go, or you don't have to use your imagination now, right there. You can see the tennis courts easily. You can imagine where it is. Okay, there was, within Wataru's mind, there were several possible interpretations of the Japanese lantern, and I kind of made him do the most traditional of those eight designs. This is the one, as far as I'm concerned, the winner. Actually, they're kind of modular so that you can take this hat off and put the pleated one, or whatever you call it, on the right. Other people have liked other models of these, but the one in the lower left, this one, the one that I selected.
Maybe you could talk about the relief sculptures that are put on the side.
Okay, I don't think we know what it looks like exactly, but I think we're going to work the edges, the blank faces. The three blank faces will be worked in signs of the Oriental Zodiac. Specifically, my son's zodiac sign, which is a dragon, mine a snake, and my wife's the rooster. So those, we don't know what.
Rooster.
Yep. Okay, and there will be the grill work over the opening there. The work will be in bronze, as I said. Will be just a shade under 5 feet, or exactly 5 feet. That happens to be a proper height for a Japanese lantern. That also happens to be my wife's height. Forgive me. So the base is ten-sided. There's a model that has been built, and I'll show you a picture of it at the very end. the first thing to do, I guess, I don't know the process that well, but you need to build a model, a full-scale model that looks just like this in positive, and then take a mold of that and into some process. Into that, you would pour the bronze. Any questions?
Are you finished? Once you're finished, I'm going to ask the commission to ask you questions. So,
oh, okay.
Get to the point where you want to.
Okay. Here's the scale drawing which Jack has in front of him. Says it's 5 feet tall. Looks like that. We'll be in those proportions. You can see the ground level there at the bottom and be slightly broader than the base of this. That will serve as the anchor so that someone would be hard-pressed to push it over. My wife was getting on to a slightly different subject. This is my wife's birthplace. She was born in camp, the closest one to our spot right here, just south of Klamath Falls in Tule Lake. Born in 1945, and I happened to find a photo of the year and place. And this is what I got from Sandra on what I should discuss. The approximate project schedule date, I would like to see this installed June 19th, 2020. I think that I've covered all the other points. Notes, I said that Sandra told me that Ashland Parks and Rec will take over the whole thing and will maintain it and all that. But like the Japanese garden, I know that they were budgeting $65,000 a month for maintenance. And I said I would be happy to endow a fund to maintain this if it was necessary. Approval is requested from APRD. And before we start casting, I'm going to have it made. I simply am going to have it made. And it will go in my backyard, my front yard, and Ashland will lose a beautiful piece of artwork, or it can go in Lithia Park. So, mounted on a solid stone or poured concrete base, completion in less than a year. And there's a little bio of Chemi, lived in Ashland for 28 years. We were married 48 years. She worked at SOU International Programs. Born in Tule Lake, June 19th, 1945, and passed March 6th, 2018 at UCSF. And double asterisk on the very first slide. It's a bronze lantern, not stone. My contact info. And then I thought, not everybody knows about the Japanese internment camps, and this would be a perfect thing to do, whether you like attributions or anything on the statue, but I would suggest a plaque of this nature, and I'll read it. During World War II, 116,000 Americans of Japanese ancestry were involuntarily moved from the west coast of the United States to one of 10 internment camps located in the most desolate parts of California, Wyoming, Utah, Arkansas, Idaho, Arizona, and Colorado. The War Relocation Authority allowed one suitcase per person. Most other property was lost along with their civil liberties. They stayed in these camps until after World War II was over, returning after 3 years. Japanese Americans and legal immigrants were born, lived as best they could, and died in these camps never again. That is the plaque that I would suggest placing on this to keep that in memory. And it's not a make or break deal for me. If you think it's too political or it's inappropriate, I'm okay with not putting it there. But I would suggest that. There's a picture of the model in progress. And this is sitting, I suspect, in Jack's studio even as we speak. That's it.
Thank you
very much.
So before I ask for questions, I'm going to suggest that since Park and Rec Commission has a policy with regard to signs and plaques, that we defer that decision to Park and Rec and not get into describing the size and what goes on to it. I think that that's probably not our purview. So, questions of any of our distinguished applicants here? Go ahead.
I think it's an exciting project. Do you have any description of the alternate site by the duck pond? About, you know, exactly where the alternate site would be?
Well, I see no reason. I'm much in favor. This is like 95% up across from the tennis courts. It's a very peaceful place, and I think that was the reason for choosing that as opposed to the duck pond, which is quite busy. It would be fine. It would be strong enough, I think, for children to play on, which I would anticipate. But given my wife's nature and what we're trying to accomplish with this, I think I would prefer the upper position. But it is just at the very, where is it? End of the duck pond, and there's a tree, there's a path that goes in front of where I would suggest the lantern could go. And I can walk you to the spot. But
is it on the, would it be on the side of the path that's closest to the duck pond,
no,
kind of where the duck house
I don't
is.
Think that, I don't think there's room in there to, okay, to do that. I think back away from.
Okay, so that would go into the lawn then,
yeah,
that the Lions used,
right,
to have the Feast of Will on.
Correct.
Right.
Well, not quite that far.
Okay.
Not quite that far.
Can I just add one thing about the site? If you walk that site, you know, the road, the path takes a curve there. And I think the spot that you've selected is in kind of within that curve. And I think aesthetically, aesthetically quite lovely in that position.
There are two trees there that provide a lot of shade. I was looking at, I spent a lot of time at the tennis courts, and I was thinking about envisioning your lantern in that spot. And at the time, I guess I didn't realize the size of it, so it would be much more significant than what I had originally thought. But that, so would it sit underneath the canopy of those two trees, or is it a little
There's enough room there to pull it away from the drip line of both trees currently. The trees grow, yeah, and maybe it would be would be under the branches.
I don't speak from a protect the tree standpoint.
Oh, okay.
I speak from a
lighting,
being able to see the lantern easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think from what John says is what Taro and I saw, which is that in the curve of the path, there's a place right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really quite nice. I walked with these guys to show them where we were going to put the lantern, should you okay it. And there are actually other places along that path, getting closer and closer to the Japanese garden, that would also be either on the left or right side, either open sunlight or not, that would be fine with me. Just not in the Japanese garden, because if it were moved, I would find that unacceptable.
I think I share in your disappointment that it's not welcome in the Japanese garden.
Well, who knows whether it's going to even happen now,
right,
or not.
Right, right.
My project endures.
So, question Stanley.
Yeah, I'm just assume that this is not an unprecedented request, that there's other places in the park where there's private memorials. I seem to remember plaques on the backs of benches. Is that...
That's true.
Yeah, so I was just wondering if we're setting a precedent here or not.
But I would not do that.
Yeah, right. There'd be no reference to your wife at all. It would just be that, yeah.
It's a memorial in my heart. No.
Right.
Yeah, so The Parks Commission has asked us to look at the sculpture itself mm-hmm. and the placement of the sculpture and not really consider precedent or... Okay. or
right.
So that's where we are.
And there's no, always somebody.
And no, my other signature either. I don't need it at all.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What about having a bench? Bench here?
As opposed to?
No, having a bench. Is that allowed or considered?
Oh, you mean in addition to?
Yeah, like where you can sit and...
I don't know.
Question.
It's actually not part of the application.
There's that.
The in the park, I noticed a World War II plaque, just for your information.
I'm not
for dedicated to World War... I mean, World War I soldiers, World War I.
Where's that?
Where's
that?
It's on a rock. One of the...
Really?
Yeah, it's about this big, a whole dedication to...
I've only been here 28 soldiers. Years, so...
Where's the foundry? Is it here in Ashland?
It is next to the farmer's market, halfway between Talent and Phoenix. If you know that canvas blue and yellow striped roof, or blue and white striped roof of the farmer's market, it's kind of set behind the church back.
But it's close by.
Yeah.
I think Jack would be happy to have you come and watch a pour, too. It's quite entertaining.
Oh, yeah. We always have visitors, guests that come and watch pours. Always do it after dark because it's so beautiful when it's dark out. You're all will be welcome, whatever the decision of the commission, to come and watch.
How often do you pour?
What?
How often do you pour?
Well, it depends on the flow of projects. Sometimes a couple times a week, sometimes not for months at a time. These will begin to be poured during the month of May. So, and they'll come probably pour about six times, I think six or eight times, probably during May and early June.
Next May and June.
This coming day.
This
yeah, we're working on the pattern, and we're going to start doing the umbrella part and the hexagonal lantern part. The umbrella, actually, top, we're working on this afternoon, and it'll be a day or two probably, and another week maybe for the hexagonal thing to be made. In that picture that was there, these parts here were still unformed, but they have been shaped. I have a picture on my phone, but they've been shaped to be like this now. And it'll all get sanded and gessoed before a mold is taken of it. And, so the top will be finished in separate part, maybe in a week or something, the pattern, and then... or a week or two. So Tara still has to make the little knob on the top. He's going to do that by hand. And then the mold will be made. That'll take a week or two, and then we'll start the rest of it.
Yeah, just represent the fire. This means
when that starts to happen, the pours, and actually you can come and visit and look at the project at any time. Mm-hmm.
And the public are welcome, free of charge. We don't charge.
You can always just wander in and look around. That's always drop-ins are great. But
actually, it's a beautiful, very special event in the dark. There's a few goddess of the furnace come down from the universe, and you feel it. Just so beautiful, pouring the bronze, going to the mold, really getting the kind of blood into the sculpture. It makes very alive. That is what we love about it. Not the just craft work. It's really pouring our passion, love into our sculpture. And just universe guide us to support us to make the sculpture alive. So that's our world we live. Not okay.
I'm going to say, I'll make sure that Terry has time to let you all know when the first pour will be.
So I have a couple of practical questions. Clarify for me what that base is going to be. Is that going to also be...
that it sits or on, or the white?
The white.
That's all bronze.
It's all bronze.
It will all be bronze.
Okay, and then the footings underneath are...
Concrete.
I'm sorry?
Concrete.
Concrete.
Base.
So...
And there, this, the lantern will be tied to that like a house in earthquake country to its foundation.
With bolts or...
With some... I'm not in the business of specifying how these guys do their job, but they would be...
One possibility is like we're going to put a bolt on the base and on the bottom of the part of the base, going to cut it, and we set the bolt and twist it.
Gotcha. Hmm.
That's so one possibility, but there's a more.
So the bolts will be hidden.
Oh, yeah.
So, Aaron, you were going to check with Mike Morrison regarding the footings and...
I spoke with Carl, and what he mentioned was that the reason they had reviewed Velocity was that that was actually in a public right-of-way. This is on private land that the city owns, but Carl still expressed that he would be more than happy to review whatever engineering drawings are submitted.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of requirements, there are none.
Mm-hmm.
The building department I also checked with, and the building code simply doesn't cover statuary. But again, they would be willing to look at whatever engineering drawings are submitted.
So, in terms of the base, what is your experience? I'm unclear about the total responsibility that you're going to have for this project. Who is going to dig the base? Who's going to put the base in place? That's on your... Okay. So then just to conclude, once that base is in, there's no review process that the city or the parks is going to look at?
Or the building department.
I can't answer that.
Okay.
What was the question again?
So you may. So just to verify that everything is per a stability, you're comfortable with the base, the footings, and the base attached to the footings and so forth, are you planning to do any review?
I would say if Public Works is going to review it, I mean, we park people would be involved with it too, and we construct and build things all the time, so we would be involved with that as well if it was deemed appropriate and when the project went forward, we would be involved with it.
So what would be your preference? Would you ask Public Works to take a look at it? I'm trying to build a recommendation.
Yeah, I can't answer that question. It's more of a staff question that Michael Black.
All right, hang on to that as a question, would you please?
Okay. But there's no formal approval process in place? Is that what you're
correct
saying?
That's my understanding. Okay.
Well, as far as code, I think is what you're talking about.
Yes.
There's no
engineer
code
drawings
that would necessarily apply.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's not a structure or anything.
Jack, you've got experience in this. Your spirit pole is much taller and much more prone to
climbing on and everything.
Yeah, and falling over on people and things like that. Was there any kind of a review process for that?
No, that was on Matthew Payne's own private property.
Still.
As I recall. I don't remember anybody saying anything. It was just... was contracted with Ashland Tank and Steel, I think, or whatever that they.
Oak Street Tank and Steel.
Oak Street Tank and Steel.
And Lloyd Haynes was the owner. Yeah.
That they. I'm trying to remember who poured the foundation, but there was, I think, three bolts that are external that the stonemason then built the stonework over the bolts. But it's totally removable. If anybody crawled all over it and scratched it up, banged it up, that it could be removed, taken to my studio, totally refinished, repaired, and dropped back in place. Matthew heard me say that, he would be cringing.
So, Jack, who designed the footings for that?
I think it was the Oak Street Tank people. For some reason, I remember meeting one of those guys there when we installed it, and it was basically just screwing the bolts on. And it floats on the bolts because at that height, to get it to look right from up Church Street, we had it set so the statue sits on three nuts, and then there's three nuts on top of the flanges that the holes for the statue are in, so that we were able to screw it a little this way and that way. So walking off a half a block, that it didn't, just be, it was
interesting.
Pouring a concrete footing and having, bolts poured into that is, any idiot could do that. It's extremely rudimentary kind of thing. It doesn't take a whole bunch of design to do that. Having it made so it could be adjusted like that, so it felt right, was important.
But the city wasn't interested in...
So I'm just asking this question because of my experience with design. The footings are related, in context to what they're supporting. So that's where I was going to see if you had sorted that out. But you know that that's something that you need to deal with, design.
Right. I mean, I don't want it to fall over, say, or be pushed over.
Yeah.
And if it needed to be a foot deep, I'd be perfectly happy to pay for concrete to fill up a hole.
So I'm just, suggesting
it needs some
something
thought.
You would need to investigate.
Indeed.
So I guess I would just add, so Park and Rec installs, playground equipment and builds footings and all kinds of construction projects. So I don't really think that would be an issue if we get that far in the process. If personally, Parks would have the expertise to determine what was necessary.
Right.
For
you could look at this as a piece of playground equipment.
Well, I didn't want to. I'm just saying that
it could become playground equipment.
Standalone structures that have to be anchored that will take a certain amount. You basically prepare for whatever abuse they might take.
And that's actually where I wanted to go. I wanted someone to take responsibility for looking at that and saying, yep, this is going to support that. So
yeah, well, Parks has the expertise.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. All right. If there's no more questions of the applicant, we're going to just kind of talk about it now and see where we go with it. So there's 2 points for discussion, the design elements and the material. And the location. So, the design elements, are you all comfortable with the representation and its authenticity or, lack of thereof? Comments?
Yeah, I don't have the expertise to say whether it's authentic or not, but it's beautiful. Yeah.
It's okay. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it's a great addition to the park and the city.
Good with bronze as opposed to stone?
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. And with regard to the location, what are you thinking there?
I think the one by the tennis court is the best one.
I actually have a little concern about it standing out in the middle. Unanchored between the two trees. I'm not sure how. So as I look at a policy that the parks have that you all don't.
I have copies of it here.
It talks about the preferred location for a memorial is immediately adjacent to a structure such as a building or a parking area or entrance to a structure or a trail. So it fits within the trail, but it just seems like the context, there's no context there for it. It's just...
Context in my mind is that it's a welcoming to the Japanese garden.
Right. When I walk in the park with Terry, and there's a tennis court, there's a fast hair, and there's a stairs there. And when I was walking the street there, you know, I've been here like 32 years. I was SOSC student. I came 1986, the innocent boy, I mean, innocent 30 years man, and met the Jamie, this, his late wife. And she was the assistant of the international program. And then I met her. And since then we become very friendly. Anyway, so when I walk in there, and Terry told me, this teeny path guide to the Japanese garden. Then I look at the, you know, little bit like a grass over there, and I feel like she's standing there. Kind of feel like, come, mm-hmm. Like, guide the people take to the Japanese like a garden where a home run, I don't know what it is, but I saw her there. So I feel like this is very, like, you know, we are artists are very ego-centered, but that's my image I had there.
This is kind of primitive, but it's a rough idea of the curve of the path, and the two circles that I drew are the canopies that the shaded area that I was talking about. Could you mark on that relative to that primitive drawing where you want your sculpture to go?
Well, I wish I'd taken this picture on the right. It looks like it's straight up the hill from the path to me.
Yeah, this is the stairs here. You need to come up the stairs a little bit here. And I saw a standing right here.
So it would be just a little bit uphill and towards the path from the canopies. And it would not be sitting underneath them.
That's
right?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't want birds or whatever sitting above it particularly.
I think that's particular this spot anyway. As far as people can, they can see the ramp, and that would be really great.
That picture just feels... it doesn't feel accurate to me the way that, because it's wintered and there's no leaves. I just, from how it looked to me just a week ago looking at it, I don't get the proper sense of it. And I think it'd be a shame for the sculpture to be hidden or, you know, buried by the trees. It deserves to stand tall.
Yeah, I have a similar concern. How many feet in from the path do you think it might be? So, I mean, I took a similar photo when I was there and wondered what your thinking was. Is it 5 feet in from the path? Is it more beyond the trees into the green area? Or what are you thinking?
I thought personally that I didn't like want it within, you know, arm's reach of the path. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't walk by and just drag your hand on it or something like that. It would be set apart from the path, and I would think at least 5 feet in. It would be, I guess I don't care whether it's seen from the street or not. It's okay that it is. I think as you walked up Winburn Way, that you'd be able to see it. But to my mind, off the path and significantly off the path by probably at least 5 feet, I don't know. I didn't want to bring it under the drip line of the trees because leaves will fall on it, and I kind of wanted it to have its own space. I don't know if that answers your question or not. Probably not.
So I would ask the commission if you're comfortable having had this discussion that it's going to be at least 5 foot in from the path, allowing Terry, or giving Terry the...
Leeway?
Leeway, the opportunity to figure out really where he wants it. And, you know, it may be that once you either have the model before you cast it, that you might want to take it over there and play with it a little bit, or some kind of a mock-up of that and play with it and see where it might want to be.
It would be easier to move bronze.
We do have
this other cutout though. This on the left side of this picture.
There's this is that. Going to be about actual size of the lantern here, and I can just bring it to the park if you like it. Then I can show it. You know,
I think that's a great idea. And then you could walk up the street. You could walk up the steps. You could walk down the path. You could see where the best place to put it would be, and I'm quite comfortable with anybody attending that.
Would the commission like to have that opportunity, or would you rather just grant it to Terry to figure it out?
If you like our input on it, I'm totally prepared to participate.
I'm all for collegiality. If you guys want to be there, that's great.
Good.
Let me just add one point. I think given its height, I think it would be visible from the road, which is one of the advantages to me, that you can note it and if you're interested to look at it. Then the Japanese garden is within sight also the other direction.
Mike, how do you
further up that path?
Excuse me.
So I think the site and given the curve there, I think it's a pretty nice location. It's out of the tree drip. There's a lot of bare lawn or a lot of just lawn there. I think it would serve two purposes, as a marker and as a guide to the garden, and still be visible from the road, given its 5 foot height.
So I would just say, if you as a commission do a site visit, that might as well invite the park commissioner to take a look at it.
So you would appreciate that opportunity?
Yeah.
Okay, let's
I think
do that.
That'd be great as well.
Okay.
We can do that anytime.
All right, so
you guys give me a date when you'd like to do it,
sure.
And I'll make time on my calendar to accommodate that.
Okay.
The question I have, why you had a year from this June? Is it because
Correct.
It takes that long for you to make it?
No, I think approval process for as much as how long it would take to make it and finish it and all that. I mean, as I understand the process, would go from here back to Park and Rec and then to City Council, and that both of those might take as much as a month each to get them all sequenced.
Terry,
so
I wanted to mention that it's very likely to be finished around this June 19th.
Okay.
Let me interrupt for just a second. I don't see it needing to go to City Council because city is not committing any money to that. It's in Parks purview.
We may need to take it. I haven't gotten final word. We may need to take it to council just once it's installed, just to accept it into the city's public art collection. But that's just a formal thing. It's not.
City Council's got plenty on their plate. You guys handle it.
I think it'd be great to have it sooner than later. So.
Wasn't there a birthday aspect to it, though, Terry?
Well, I've done everything. There are three or four significant dates within our marriage, and her birthday is certainly one of them. Our anniversary, November 1st, All Saints Day, would be another, and January 1st, the first date 50 years ago that we had a date, would also be on my calendar.
All right. Well, I think that's...
I like June. We had last June 19th, we had 80 or 90 people gathered in Cotton Memorial for a celebration of Jimmy's life, and a year later than that would be fine. The only thing I would ask is that you give me a little bit of a heads up on that so that I can invite people and make sure that we have a proper opening for it.
Okay, thank you. So back to our discussion. Do you have another comment, question?
Just a comment. Just a simple thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for your offer to have this made. I think it's very generous. I think it's very graceful. Thank you.
It's done from love. Thank you.
So, any further discussion or questions? All right.
I would just say that it would be great to have a, you know, the proper dedication.
Mm-hmm. And the city would be invited, of course. Anybody who wants to be there. She was here for 28 years and knew a lot of people. We'll invite them and anybody else if we want to put a notice in the paper or something like that. I think that would be great. And the paper might even want to might want to know about that.
Thanks. Okay. Can I have a motion that we recommend that the Parks Commission recommend that we that we recommend the construction and installation of this sculpture and its location pending our visit to the site to the Parks Commission, period, to the Parks Commission.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Oh, just a note. The site visit, I'll need like a week in advance.
To notice it.
Or notice.
To notice it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We have granted you, your request
Thank
to
you.
Move it back to Parks and Rec for whatever process they need to do. All right?
Okay. What kind of a timeline? Can we pin down the timeline of it? So it is month. I mean, how many different steps does that have to go through? Can we kind of generally target when we think that the final approval might be given?
I think Mike could answer that, perhaps.
Well, there's only one regular rescheduled meeting before the 19th of June, and that would be the regular business meeting at Park and Rec on May 20th. It's Monday. We have a regular meeting next Monday, which it's already been noticed what the agenda is. So, and I can't guarantee that the Park Commission will make a decision on one night. Although, if you could get the recommendation to us, I'll push for it to be on the agenda and gather any information that we need. So we basically have like 4 weeks until that date comes up.
So then it would seem the goal is to get the site visit as soon as possible.
Like in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I'm out of the town till May 6th, and that's only important that you have the rest of the commission there, I think. So you'll just...
Yeah, I'd also request that we did it after May 6th, or else if you need a week, then... My instinct is just to say, great, let's just walk up now, go look at it, figure it out right now, but I guess we can't do that.
Yeah. Okay, so pending your... So let's go back. When do we want to do it? If... No worries to do it between May 6th and May 20th, is that what it is?
20th, yes.
Oh, okay, so.
Is the 6th a Monday?
6th is a Monday,
yeah.
Correct.
Okay. I'm good anytime after the 6th or beyond.
Me too.
I'm out the 9th.
How about the week of the 13th? That would be Monday through Friday, the 13th through the 17th.
I'm out Monday. I could attend Tuesday on.
Okay.
In that week.
Tuesday the...
The 14th.
Where is it? The 14th. Yeah. Anybody have a problem with that? Okay. Can we move forward with that date?
Sure.
Also, just may I say one thing? We really want to invite all of you to see Chuck's like a bronze pour.
Yeah.
And... You know, should I just get you all the email address? Are you going to send it to you? Or
sure, on the Wet City website.
Yeah, you can do it that way, or you can send it to Aaron.
Aaron, do you have a business card?
I do. I'll give whatever
you need. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'd love to have you all.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. We like to send things through our staff because then there's a good record of it. someone says, you didn't notice
this man really, really, last 30 years, was just free of charge, really inviting the people here, educate, you know, the process of out of them. So I really want to support him, really. This man is a really devoting, really. Not only his art, but also, well, thank you very much. Mikey, you lose it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate your coming and your patience and your presentation.
Okay, this is yours.
Okay.
You see, Jack Long for the very,
very long hair.
Yes.
And we get to mature, I'm gonna. Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Andy, your report on the MAP project.
Okay. So we covered quite a lot of stuff on the last meeting. A lot of the discussion was talking about how to proceed with I'm not sure how much I really need to recap because I've clued you in
Just a general thing. I think we're not up for details.
So, we made a vote to direct commission masterwork plaques for the job pending the legality of the issue, and have discussed the potential ramifications of doing so. I think we'll revisit that and just make sure that everybody's strong in their conviction with that. A few more things have been brought up since our last Tuesday meeting, which I'll talk about next Tuesday. We also, I've been in contact with Masterwork Plaques I asked about an installation guide, and she got back immediately with a great document showing off everything about the installation. I feel like communication with this company is primo, and it's just it makes me feel really confident about them. And that's pretty
cool. Okay, so I think Steve is the only person other than Aaron and Fotini that, you know, are not up to speed with what's going on. So the discussion has been, and a final decision is not made, to go ahead, since the goal for this first project is to get the best installation with the best product possible and set the level of quality. And so you understand, you've heard the process that they've gone through. So I'm suggesting to them to do an RFP, request for a proposal, so that they will lay out what the entire project, the description of the entire project, and then get a price and get a process and agreement that Dave Lohman can use to create a contract. So that's where we are. Do you have any concerns, any comments?
I think it's in good hands.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Velocity. So you may have seen that two sections have been removed, and so the end of Velocity at the top end is probably about 13 feet off the ground, over stairs, feeling like the best we can do. So Mike and I have visited the site a couple of times and discussed some of the recommendations that Gordon's office had, and, you know, his thinking on the whole thing. They were prepared to take the V apart at the bottom per Gordon's recommendation, insert a support within the sleeve. I don't know. I think that was the extent of it.
No, and then weld a gusset.
I'm sorry?
And then weld a gusset.
Oh, and then weld a gusset. Thank you. So that it would, the end result would be, of course, strength. It would be probably the last section would be a little more upright and not have quite such a curve to it. The downside, I thought, was the possibility of a local welder not ending up with the really clean finish that Gordon's office had. And when you're standing there, that's what you see. At that base, that needs to be clean and polished. So I went out on a limb and made a decision to just, as a first pass, just cut off the second section and see how we go with that.
Has that been done?
It has been done.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good. I went up there yesterday.
Looks great.
Yeah.
It doesn't destroy the
floor. Not really.
No.
Good. That's what I was really hoping.
You're talking about, so instead of arching all the way, it's been cut.
It's a shorter arch.
Yeah,
it hasn't been
looks great.
Cut. It's just there. It was constructed in the sections.
Yeah, they took a one section.
So two sections have been taken.
And it's got to be 12 or 13 feet above.
It is.
I think as good as it is.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. They have not, Public Works has not polished up the plaque that was jimmied off and removed, but that needs to happen. And then the two other things with regard to, I'll talk about that now, the camera and a sign and signage. So while a camera has been installed, there is the council needs to discuss further the use of cameras in this town. So it will not be turned on, essentially, till that happens. It will not be posted, 24-hour surveillance, which I was really looking forward to, until that happens. But we are going to look at constructing some kind of a sign that says, do not climb on sculpture. Maybe several of them, and placing them not on the sculpture, but, on a railing or on prominent places. And there's no ordinance that we're referencing that's good. Nobody's going to get a misdemeanor, I'm betting, for that. But anyway, that's the only portion that's happening right now.
Does the city not have cameras anywhere at this point?
We have two cameras.
Skate park. Like skate park has one now, right?
Yeah.
So there was a plan some years ago to put in cameras, and the community objected. Mm-hmm. And so
on privacy grounds?
Yes.
Or?
Right. So when I was meeting with, that's another thing I need to update you on. So this is probably not a good location in the agenda to do this, but I forgot to add it. So I told you that I was meeting with the city administrator, Dave Lohman and Mike Morrison and Fotini and Aaron were there as well, regarding going forward what we need to build into our project descriptions to ameliorate damage. And that's when this camera issue emerged. And so we're in a holding pattern until that gets resolved. Nothing really came of that meeting. I mean, we talked about lighting. Mike was clear that lighting a sculpture is not going to improve its anti-vandalism aspect. So I guess, going forward, that the camera issue and was our only conclusion, and we may be. So I also asked Dave if we could build into the project description some caveat about making it, you know, strengthen whatever. And Jeff sent me a couple of RFP and RFQ samples from projects in which there was a discussion of what that wording could be. It's not offensive, but it's clear and strong, so that as we work on the templates, samples of RFQs and RFPs, we can introduce some of that language, and I'll probably have that for you next meeting. But that's as far as we've gone. Yeah.
The subject of the surveillance cameras, whether they're active or not, if there could be a sign that just says, you know, that they're there, that's
a deterrent.
That's a cheap deterrent.
I totally agree. I'm just not sure that that's a possible thing to put it up in.
I don't know if that's legal. Because yeah. I'm wondering.
Sounds like something that's going to come before the city council, so...
Yeah.
I hope so. Okay.
So I got a...
I'm sorry, I just could create a bigger problem than... So
that's the end
people
of...
People protest, maybe.
That's the end of the project updates. Why don't you go ahead with your report?
Okay, so but I have a question about the... Now, I noticed there's an item down here that talks about velocity lighting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, we'll talk about that when we get to that.
Yes.
Okay, council update. Our last meeting started off with a bang. We were scolded mightily by George Kramer for using words like spineless and lazy and threatening to mount a campaign to amend the city charter that there will not be a single fee increase or tax increase in the city of Ashland without a vote of the people. And he used language like, I don't want to do it, don't make me do it, but I will do it, and blah, 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 blah. It was quite astounding. Okay.
Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah.
Well, I have to go watch the footage.
Yeah.
It's a long story. Yeah, he's a local historical consultant that has a history with this body here too. So yeah. I just thought I'd kind of drop that one in on you. Just to
thank you.
The tenor of the meeting.
He also ran against Steve for his spot.
What a story! Yeah. Okay, so we were asked to approve community block grants, community development block grants of a total of $42,000, and there's some applicants here, and so we split the money up three ways: St. Vincent de Paul, the Maslow Project, and one that the organization that got the most was the Ashland Food Angels Project, which was an interesting project. Which I don't know if some of you are familiar. They collect restaurant food and farmers market food and shopping cart and market of choice produce and redistribute it. And it's quite a robust effort. So
what's their need?
Facilities. They need refrigeration. It's very capital intense. Food handling and so on. So I don't know the exact details, but I thought it was interesting that they had prevailed to get a pretty good, you know, 18 grand of that 42. I think that contrary to what we read in the paper sometimes is that our community outreach and care is alive and well in this town, and we continue to do good work here. Laurel Street cottages were appealed. If anybody's familiar with that, 12 cottages on Laurel Street, kind of right up from Hillman School.
Mm-hmm.
So real quickly, when things go through the Planning Commission, go through the whole process, or project's approved and it's appealed, it comes to the City Council. And there's very strict rules in terms of what can be presented, and the even stricter rule is what we can rule on. And we only rule on very narrow definitions of whether the Planning Commission erred in using irrational that they used, I'll go the other way, that the Planning Commission used a rational basis to make their decisions. If we feel that it was not rational, that's what we can rule on. Mm-hmm. And if there was a violation of the law, some big violation of the law, we cannot rule on whether we like the project, whether we feel that the city design standards should be changed, and like that, that's not in our purview to do that. And people don't understand that sometimes, and they come forth with all kinds of things that should be changed, but we can't do that. So, anyway, long story short, it was unanimously rejected. The appeal was unanimously rejected. Now, the one thing I must say about the appellants, they presented very civil presentation, like in so many other presentations where the city council is scolded for ineptitude and blah, 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 blah. But they were very calm and civil and understanding of what could be done and couldn't be done. So anyway, it was nice to see. Small grants program, the TOT, the Transit Occupancy Tax, which we know as the Motel-Hotel Tax, we approved the small grants program to recommend it very strongly to the Budget Committee that not be cut. That gets the same as it did last year. There was no discussion of public arts money being changed or reduced or anything. It's just still a percentage of the TOT.
I think ours is by ordinance.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Or I think it's by resolution, but it's it is. It's locked in.
Thank you.
So budget. That's going to dominate the discourse for the next 6 weeks or so. The budget book was presented Wednesday. The article in the paper this morning talked about it. And the formal budget committee was set up with the chair and a vice chair elected. And
may I ask who they are?
Paula Hyatt is the chair, mm-hmm. and Shane Hunter, who I believe is SOU, he works at SOU, administration, is the vice chair. So I think Paula's going to do a really good job. She's very practiced at that, and this isn't her first rodeo. So it's, we feel good about that. And then Mark Welch gave what I felt was a sparkling presentation of the budget. He is a very able individual, and what he's worked really hard on is just absolutely so different from what's been done before. They have this new software called open.gov. It's a brand new software, and he blazed through it, and it is astounding how much information is now available. The city budget is completely and totally transparent, all the way down to if you wanted to know what a public works laborer at level 2 makes. The only thing they didn't do is name names, almost. It's like laborer, public works, level 2, base wage, benefits, total compensation. It's all right there.
Is this software new, or is it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can look at the history. You can look at, I mean, it is a deep, deep dive into technology, and they've done an absolutely wonderful job. And it takes the wind out of the sails of some of these folks that are constantly carving out of the city that we're not being transparent, mm-hmm. and so on.
So where do we go to look at that?
City website, open.gov. And there's more buttons and links and menu drop downs and graphs that you can change in a heart. You know, it is really, really astounding. And I think this city is blessed to have that, and I think I know for a fact we're one of the few cities that have anything like that in the state of Oregon, much less. So anyway, we're wrestling with the deficit. It's roughly a $2 million shortfall, and half of that, just to give a real brief overview, half of that, this is all general fund stuff, not the enterprise funds. General fund, police, fire, parks, and the city administration is all in the general fund. Enterprise funds are funds that have their own income source, water, electric, wastewater, kind of separate, AFN, are all separate because they have their own revenue stream.
So I thought Parks was on its own, that it has its own budget. Am I mistaken?
It has its own budget. But
well, we have our own budget, but we're part of the general fund.
Part of the general fund.
That was a state law that changed about 20 years ago.
So the hits are coming. $1 million roughly is coming from staff reductions, and the other $1 million is coming from what they call the euphemism I just love, revenue enhancements. So, and $100,000 of the marijuana tax is being shifted over to the general fund. Building inspection fees are going up because we've found that statewide that we're about 40% of what they should be. AFR on your utility bill is going to increase $5. Now, this is, when I say this is all proposed, it isn't locked in yet by any stretch. Proposing the AFR, which is I think it's $1.50 now. It's going to go up $5 to $6.50, and that's for the watershed work to keep the watershed, wildfire, fuel reduction that process going. And some other things like franchise fees are going up. This is what the electric and water pay to the city of Ashland, and that pays into the general fund for the support that they get from the city of Ashland, their payroll, finance, vehicles, and so on. Anyway, it's a good feeling this year, way better than the last, or this go-around, better than the last go-around. Some of the animosity and I feel has really been tempered, and it's just a whole new feeling, and I expect good things to come forward. This deficit, this is what they call a structural deficit, which means that with PERS is the big, that's the big wet blanket over everything, and it's going to continue to be wet blanket, so we have to continue to live within our means, and it's going to be a challenge from here forward.
So a comment. I think that is the tagline, live within our means, because that's what I hear within the community, right. Is we don't know how to live within our means,
right.
So I think
right.
Going forward with that.
Right, but part of that conversation also is this idea of level of service. So people can talk all they want about, we got to cut here, we got to cut there, and some of the budget committee members are offering up the, you know, there was one budget committee member who will go unnamed who offered up the idea that we should offer up the idea that possibly the all city workers take a 10% cut in pay, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
It's like. And that certain positions be let go, and that we really have to cut more, and so on and so on and so on. But it comes back to this whole idea of level of service.
Exactly.
You know? We have a level of service of expectation, whether it be how long this window is open here for contractors to come, how many people do they have to wait an hour and a half to get some help here if they start cutting staff here. There was one project that was held up something like 3 weeks. Because they couldn't get a fire inspection out there to complete their plan so they can give the okay for occupancy, blah, you know, and so on and so on. So there's lots and lots of permutations. And we're not even talking the big levels of service, which is police and fire,
right.
You know. And so all those things are wrapped up in this level of service. It's easy to talk about cuts, but what they have to realize is things are pretty lean right now, and if we start whacking positions, you're going to see a drop in level of service, and then people are going to start hollering about that. See, it's one of those deals where you can't have it both ways.
Right. But they did cut positions.
Yeah, no, they have cut positions. They're going to see, they're going to begin to see.
Yeah.
And I know that Parks, Mike, you can speak to this. Parks took a significant hit.
We typically get $2.09 per thousand is what the Parks has traditionally gotten. So we got $1.89.
So they're taking.
So that we haven't cut any positions yet, but we basically lost funding
to the tune of
I don't know,
600K or something.
It was
about 500K to 600K. So everybody's.
So that's the community conversation.
Yeah.
Level of service, living within our budget,
right.
How that plays
right.
out.
Right. So I have one more quick thing here. The city of Guanajuato gave us an art piece, which is now hanging in the city council chambers. It's a beautiful ceramic tile mosaic of the logo of the city of Guanajuato. And it's really well done. It does have a little bit of an issue with Pam Turner, our judge, because she holds court there. There is a significantly ostensible, not ostentatious, religious symbol there. I think it's the Virgin Mary holding up a cross, and then there's a chalice, and a, you know, definitely some ecclesiastical paraphernalia in there. So she has requested that, and we've done it, that a black curtain be tacked up
for
when she has court. And it's understandable. There's a little church-state issue, and I understand that. Yeah. But it's kind of interesting to me that when the city council, we hold our meetings, it's like uncovered.
Well, you had it covered the other night.
Well, I think somebody forgot to take it down.
It was covered for your guys' meeting, too.
Do you do that on purpose?
I don't think it had been on purpose.
It was left over.
Yeah.
I don't think they introduced
it. It's an awkward situation, and I don't know if we see that continuing, that, you know, sometimes it's covered, sometimes it's uncovered. I mean, if you're going to send a message, it's got to be a consistent message. It's like, so I don't know if there's any discussion in the halls of city or not, but... Anyway, I'm going to push to kind of clarify that a little bit. So we'll see. Maybe it'd be hung someplace else that isn't so, you know, like maybe out in the foyer or something, you know. But what I'm leading up to is the mayor has suggested, there's some rumblings, I don't know whether you've heard of this or not, is that we reciprocate a similar art piece or a logo piece from the city of Ashland that we can extend to them, and I don't think that's in the works. I haven't heard about it, but it kind of came up for discussion, and I'm wondering if that's an area where this commission might do we wait for people to come to us, or would we ever initiate that?
Well,
or
if it comes to us from the council or from the mayor, I mean, that's how Velocity happened, was through the mayor's beautification. Then that's a request to move forward. I would just suggest that it would need to be funded by the city and not come out of our pot of money.
Right.
We could definitely commission that, you know, do a whole process, RFQ process, and take that on as a project.
Right.
That'd be a great way to include the local artists.
Maybe somebody already has. I might talk to Kelly or the mayor about that and see if we can kind of kick that forward.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
That's it.
So,
Lake will be gone.
With regard to revenue enhancement, I learned that any repairs to public art projects need to come out of our pot of money. So that was another reason I decided that moving forward with this welding and gusset and so forth, let's not do that unless we really have to do that. So
I thought that once the sculpture was installed, our role was done, and then all the maintenance reverted to the city. Is that not correct now? Or?
That was formally correct. That is no longer correct. The city, both Dave Lohman and Kelly were really clear to me that gotta come out of our pot of money. So that, you know, further promotes our moving forward with requesting a discussion and approval of the cameras. So how can we make that happen?
It would go through Kelly first to get it on the agenda.
Can you take that on? Do you want us to take that on?
Yeah, I can do that.
I mean, it's our only, at this moment, suggestion for security.
Right.
So since we're having, you know, very shortly another sculpture in kind of a remote section of Railroad Park, it would be pretty... I mean, we had that discussion about that particular sculpture, so Kelly is definitely familiar with it, and we talked about whether it needs Wi-Fi or, you know, what's the electrical requirements and so forth, so it's not new to anybody's ears in that threesome. But to get it on the agenda we could certainly use your support.
So the skateboard park cameras came through the police department, actually.
Okay.
Just as an opposed, they actually requested it.
I wonder if that's just an avenue. Yeah, okay.
So is that policy retroactive for all existing sculpture and artwork in the city of Ashland?
Yeah. In terms of repair?
Yeah.
That's my understanding.
It's ironic that the article in the sneak previews about Velocity Vandalized made a statement about that it was coming out of PAC money before we were even aware that that's the case.
Yep.
There is a disconnect there that's not right.
Yeah.
Well, so Mike made that statement, and you pointed that out to me, so I followed up with him at that particular meeting, and he went, yeah, we had that discussion, and Dave and Kelly are shaking their heads, yes. There's no money in the city to do that anymore. So, you know, we're going to be looking really hard at our RFPs, RFQs, to... make it, you know, put in wording that talks about that, and then that's part of our review process. Just as a follow-up on that, Mike said that when they go out for bid, when administration goes out for bid, one of their questions is, so how strong is this? How, you know, what's the cost to repair and so forth? And, you know, that's something that we can incorporate into our discussions and our conversations with prospective artists.
It's going to limit the kind of sculptures that we can commission.
It will. I mean, yeah. I think Velocity would have had a hard time passing
Absolutely.
That test.
Yeah.
And as many times as we ask Gordon, yeah, it, you know, should stand in normal use.
Right.
So, you know, I told them that my concern really was the reputation that the city may gain of based on the vandalism. You know, it's a small community statewide and nationally about public artists. And, you know, if they start hearing about the problems here, vandalism problems, and what they have to do to shore up a project, it's going to affect us long term. And plus, the community is super disappointed when this happens.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Can I make a comment on Steve's budget talk?
Yeah.
I just feel that as a public art commissioner, I'm more realizing the state of the budget and our role in it, it makes me feel a little more cautious and a little more sensitive about the role of public art funding versus a $2 million deficit. And I find it affecting how I think about what we do. Yeah, everybody ought to consider that as well. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Are there any other comments that you want to make to Steve regarding anything that he had to say? Okay. Moving on. The work plan update. As I said before, the template process that we are working on to create RFQs and RFPs that future... commissions can just pull up. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can just pull out and use with minor modifications is moving forward. Jeff has added significantly to our research in that regard. And probably by June we'll have templates to put before you for your comment. What is public art? Tom has been traveling. I've been going on Colossal, which comes in twice a day. So great. And, you know, pulling out projects that I think, you know, we have kind of a list of things like joyfulness, adding, there's just a whole list that off the top of my head I'm not remembering now that the public art needs to relate to. So we've probably got maybe 30 or 40 images together. And so after I'm back and he's back in town, we're going to pull those together, and then I was going to ask Steve if he's still up. You know, Steve volunteered to do the narrative for that, and so that would be the next thing. We would show them to Steve, and he would work through each category with narratives. So that's that. I'm sorry?
What are you talking about?
Class,
you said?
What is public art?
The presentation, right.
Yeah, the presentation.
The PowerPoint.
I don't believe Jeff ever saw it.
You may not have seen it. You're right.
No,
you may
I'm
not
sure
have
you
ever
would.
Seen it.
Yeah. But it's a presentation that's in the works.
Colossal?
No. Oh. We're just pulling images from Colossal. But it's a presentation that Public Art is constructing to take on the road as an education to the community about what is public art and why public art.
Cool.
It's PR, basically.
Cool. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's that under the work plan. Under Velocity Lighting, Aaron recognized that we talked 6 months ago about we would revisit the lighting in the ball. I guess it was the ball specifically. I'm thinking it was probably the color variation that we were talking about.
And the timing.
And the timing, that's right. Is it,
yeah.
So what is the current thing?
So the current is just gone all day, 24 hours.
24 hours.
And it's the blues and purples. With the LEDs bouncing.
I've never seen the LEDs bounce in sequence. I've had three people mention to me, why does not that sequence happen to suggest the bounce?
They told us it was not possible. We talked about that when...
Well, they're flashing randomly now.
I know, and that's incorrect. I think it's a malfunction.
It is a malfunction.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's
because
only
the other two are not lighted.
It's only the section that's connected to the ball, to the ground. The rest of the arc is not lit up. And
okay.
We didn't have the option for any kind of strobing
any sort of programmable.
Or anything. It was just on all the time. So the fact that it's strobing is something Mike Cook should be looking at.
Interesting.
And
okay.
I think that was a result of truncating part of the lights.
Mm-hmm.
Was. You're exactly
yeah.
right.
So.
Yeah.
And it's on their list.
Okay.
Yeah. So with regard to the ball, was originally conceived to be orange. The sculptor came back and said, well, we're putting in a program so that it can rotate through six different colors. Turns out that either because of the construction of the ball itself, I have no idea what else it could be, because the program is functioning properly, according to Mike Morrison, we only get blue and purple. And
yeah, I'm trying to recall. I thought that's what we opted for because it was more visible.
What other colors?
There's no other option. That's the only thing that is functioning.
Well, I thought they specifically programmed the blue and purple because that's what we looked like.
When Jason was up here, he tried to run the program to make all the colors visible. There are about six colors.
Mm-hmm.
He could not do that. And Gordon said, when I went back to Gordon, he says, it is what it is. I've spent all my money.
Mm-hmm.
I was under the impression that the opaqueness of the ball prevented some of the hues from coming through as well as the blue and the purples do.
Mm-hmm.
That is an assumption that we've made. No qualified person.
That doesn't make sense to me.
That's the truth. Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean the color of the ball is neutral, so any color applied from the inside should transmit to the outside.
Right.
So that's what they told us. Yeah.
There's a whole LED light system set up within it, within the ball. There's a container on the side wall with a program in it that you can access, but we don't get more than blue or purple.
It sounds like a programming problem. Whoever programmed it didn't. It's not doing the whole thing.
Okay, so what was that part
of the spec on the original sculpture that we were going to...
So what happens when a sculptor designs something? It's a conceptual thing until it's finished.
Right.
And because as he works through it, some of his concepts may not play out.
Right.
It's, you know, the practical understanding is that things may change. They need to come back to the commission if there's a change, you know, purposeful change.
Right.
This was just a malfunction.
Right.
He promised, or he suggested it was going to be orange. He also said that it was going to be sitting right out, butting up to the sidewalk. Its face would be parallel to the face of the building. And he changed his mind and moved it back.
As I recall, it was Historic that requested that.
Historic doesn't play into this at all. They may request it, but they request it to us, and we move forward. So I can't believe that I never heard that, and B, certainly we did not agree to do that.
It's documented.
Yeah, Public Arts received a memo from Historic Commission, and it was included during the approval process with their recommendation that included that being sent back to the facade of Starbucks. But it was just a recommendation.
Right. So
the artist took that and did it, I don't think, without consulting with them. I'm assuming without consulting with
them. That's really something that should not have occurred. We should have had that discussion. I'm sorry, the whole thing escaped me. Yeah. So that was not a good process.
Yeah.
I just stumbled onto it reviewing agendas and stuff.
Okay. Well, something to think about. So, what do you want to do about this?
Is it okay if Gordon just says, sorry, it is what it is, I'm out of money? I mean, if the sculpture is out of the spec that he agreed to build, and then it's a question of how hard do you want to push back on that.
Right. So in terms of being out of the spec, I don't think it was ever documented that it was going to be in orange. It was just a conversation. Do you remember that at all, or was that was perhaps
was
before you were on the commission? Yeah. But full spectrum was part of the conversation.
Right.
So that would mean that we hire a lighting designer or electrical contractor or someone that can look at that. And
did he custom build that box that changes the LEDs? I mean, there's tons of products out there that do that. Maybe it's just a repair that needs to happen.
I think that they said that it was the best quality that he could provide. So I'm sure he didn't custom build it.
Right,
sure.
So if we could find out where he got that piece, that box, mm-hmm. the control for light, and contact that manufacturer and see, just ask the question, it's only producing these colors. Do you have an idea of what we need to do to fix it?
That suggestion.
Yeah.
I think it's very disappointing to some of us who
started
in the beginning and we were looking forward to a variety of colors. So
it could be an easy fix.
Could be an easy fix.
Yeah.
Okay. Aaron, can you take that on?
To contact the manufacturer of the controller?
Right.
I would need to know something about the spec of it. I'm not sure
Gordon should be able to provide that.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I am I want us to be cautious that we may be making more work ultimately for Public Works. So, because they will ultimately, I assume, have to be involved with the repair.
Maybe, maybe not, and in any case, we're going to be paying for it. So I think, you know,
yeah, I mean,
to,
it could
to be comfortable with the whole thing. What's it going to cost us? You're right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that if it's built to produce six colors and it's only producing two, either it's programmed incorrectly or it's flawed.
Yeah.
If it's flawed, that the right. works can be swapped out.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll have to pay for that, but, yeah. you know, I don't know.
All right. So is that something you can follow
well,
up on?
We'll look into it and see what we can do.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So anything else on velocity lighting? How about length of time? Keeping it on 24 hours?
Sure. It's LEDs. They yeah. don't use much power.
Right.
So, you know.
And as I said, I noted to Mike that it needs to be fixed, and he knows that. So that will happen. I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else to talk about?
Yeah, I wanted to just talk about real briefly while Mike was here. Dan, can you show the pictures of that that I sent you on the Applegate Trail?
Yes.
So as thinking about historical signs is the front of my thinking lately, when I came across the Applegate signs, I was just interested to see it and just wanted to share with you guys. I asked Joel to be on the signs, plaques, and memorials if he was going to be here. I guess it's space. And maybe, Mike, you can tell us what you know about the organization that is putting these up.
Yeah, well, as we talked on the phone the other day, I can't recall the name of the organization, but they're basically tracing pioneer routes throughout the West, and they're a group of individuals. I'm not exactly sure how they come together or how often they meet, but this is a typical marker that they would request a municipality or in this case, parks, to place this. This is at Ashley Creek Park, and it's just delineating the Applegate Trail, and that was installed, I think, last summer, if I'm not mistaken. You know, it's aesthetically, it's not that pleasing, but that's their MO. That's how they mark the trails throughout the West, and so we, Andy was concerned that there was going to be more of these, and I'm pretty sure this is the only one that's going to be in Ashland. They'd actually, the Applegates had actually documented in a journal that, you know, they, when they came from the Willamette Valley looking for the southern route of the Oregon Trail, they came through Ashland and actually stayed somewhere in the proximity of Ashland Creek Park. So it's just a commemorating the Applegate Trail, and that was a site that was chosen since it was on public land.
So I understand that you're reviewing your sign program. Do I understand that correctly?
You know, I'm not sure. I'm not on that subcommittee, and I hadn't heard that, but it's
so,
possible.
You know, so if someone brought that before us, mm-hmm. we would look at what our policy is and make sure it fit within it, whether it was their design or not.
Right.
So perhaps your sign committee can establish what a sign that goes in a park needs to look like. I mean, the quality of it is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's purposely made to look rustic.
Well, how about the chip on it?
I think that's just discoloration.
And that's a bad well.
Aaron, the other slide is a close up of the.
Maybe you're right. That's just
the verbiage on it. But yeah, I was.
I mean, it would have gone through our process, and whoever was on that subcommittee said, you know, that.
So did they put that in without any review? Did they just show up one day and hammer it?
No. They contacted us.
Okay.
And they actually were looking for a location.
Yeah.
And it was suggested that because that was a known portion of the trail, you know, came right through Ashland, that would be, you know, that would be an appropriate place.
So I think it's a parks issue. Okay. All right. So I'm going to say we're done.
Okay.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
So we're meeting next Tuesday, right?
We are.
At the
8 o'clock.
Right.
To walk around.
Right.
Oh, I did want to mention to you all this is my last meeting.
Oh.
So I'm
thank
working
you.
With you, all and right, I will thank still be handling maps. So I'll still be
okay.
in contact with most of the team.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. New building.
I just didn't want to get.
Oh, because you're going to
get the little background.
Yeah,
that.
Sure.
All right. I'll look forward to seeing you. Yeah, absolutely. In some other venue.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing you. Good.
I think like I know.
Have a great trip.
Good.
Thank you.